This is Jordan Sekulow. Today on Jay Sekulow Live, the Trump administration prepares to take over the executive branch.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
It is a momentous day before a historic day, and I'm pleased to have a chance to report to the American people and to all of you the progress that we have made at the president-elect's direction. Preparing a team that will be ready to serve the American people and make America great again on day one. But let me tell you, we are all ready to go to work. In fact, we can't wait to get to work for the American people.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
And I've said this directly to Prime Minister Netanyahu. I've said it inside of Israel. I've said it to Palestinians as well. I don't see how this issue gets resolved in a way that maintains Israel as both Jewish and a democracy.
Israel has not gotten the attention it deserves or the respect in the last 8 years. He intends to really show his respect for Israel, the importance of it in the Middle East. And I think he has continued to talk with his team, both Ambassador-designate David Friedman, Jared Kushner, others, Rex Tillerson, about how we're going to work with Israel. I think first and foremost, how to make sure that we continue to support our ally Israel. That is something that's going to be the priority of this administration.
And now your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hello and welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Our dad's actually on his way to Washington, D.C. right now to be at our offices right on Capitol Hill behind the Supreme Court. If you're looking at some of the shots and you've seen on television the where the inauguration takes place at the U.S. Capitol, the steps, if you were just to look beyond that, the ACLJ offices just a couple blocks away. And, of course, we're strategically located at the corner of where the Senate offices are and the Supreme Court is, inside that security perimeter. So they are making their way there as we speak. Maybe get some updates tomorrow during the festivities. Now, interesting for our broadcast, for everybody listening right now to our live broadcast at noon Eastern time. Maybe you're listening out west at 9 a.m. Pacific time or here in Central time at 11 a.m. That is the exact moment the president will take the oath of office and then deliver his remarks. So we will be covering that tomorrow live on Jay Sekulow Live. So if you are at your computer, on your phone, in your car, at your place of work, wherever you listen or however you watch or listen to the broadcast, we will be covering because we're going to be live for that full hour, which will probably include most of President Trump taking the oath of office and his remarks, which he says are not so long. So we'll be able to cover those when it is appropriate. And obviously, it's a very important time in U.S. history. These transfers of power are key. Now, yesterday on the broadcast, we were doing we wrapped up the Obama administration, but we said, hey, we'll continue to monitor if there's anything of substance. Now, the president did his final news conference yesterday. I will say, this isn't so much substance as I want to remind people what we're finally getting away from. Remember, this president only has 24 hours left in his administration, and the way he is attacking Israel, every last moment he's got, is just a reminder, thankfully, that this is an administration done in exactly 24 hours. Take a listen to this in his final press conference, swiping at the Democratic State of Israel, Bite 5.
And I've said this directly to Prime Minister Netanyahu. I've said it inside of Israel. I've said it to Palestinians as well. I don't see how this issue gets resolved in a way that maintains Israel as both Jewish and a democracy.
I mean, Logan, we didn't think yesterday. I mean, no. It's kind of like he's had to say one more thing for us to cover. I don't want to dwell on it today because he only has that commander-in-chief power. Those are his opinions. But I did want to remind people this is how he wants to be remembered. So his final press conference, he's attacking Israel.
Right, exactly. Only 23 hours, 56 minutes left in his presidency, but it's pretty strange to see that kind of comment. Obviously something we heard from John Kerry before, but to hear it come from the president's mouth makes it that much harder to handle.
Dan Bennett's joining us at our office in Washington, D.C. We'll go to him about what to expect in these first 72 hours of the Trump administration. Here's what I want to ask you. What are you most excited about Donald Trump taking on with Mike Pence in these next 72 hours? What executive orders do you want to see? What executive actions do you want to see changed? What policies are you most pumped up about? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. There's no wrong answer. 1-800-684-3110. Does anything have you nervous? Let us know. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
With a new president and a new Congress, there are new challenges. And we want you to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is ready to meet these new challenges. Whether it's fighting for the confirmation of a Supreme Court justice dedicated to upholding the Constitution and the rule of law, or working in Congress and in the courts to defund Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, the ACLJ is there for you. At the ACLJ, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you truly want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ, become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines, defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the ACLJ. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or go online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Folks, at this point tomorrow, as we're live on the air right now, Donald Trump will be president of the United States. He will have taken the oath of office, and he'll probably have just started to deliver his remarks to the American people. Shortly after that, he will get to work. He will be issuing executive actions and executive orders. Most of those will come in the first 72 hours. Some will come tomorrow. Some you just have to do as president. That's part of taking on the duty. Others will be more policy focused, including what we're hearing is one that will focus on starting to repeal Obamacare. So policy begins. The transition is just about over, and the takeover of the federal government begins at noon Eastern time tomorrow. Donald Trump will be commander in chief. There will be, again, a lot of vacancies at the top level, the cabinet positions. Than, walk people through. You're in Washington, D.C. now. First, give people a sense of what it's like there. This is a very divided country right now, and a somewhat controversial president-elect who's about to become everyone's commander in chief. But tell people kind of like the mood in Washington, D.C.
Well, there's a crush of people here, Jordan, both coming to attend the inauguration and then maybe in slightly reduced numbers to also protest it. I think there's a lot of attention centered around the few dozen Democrats who have said they are going to boycott the inauguration. Jordan, I just have to tell you, I mean, a peaceful transition of power is one of the things that makes the United States special. It is one thing that is missing in many areas of the world. And I would just caution people, no matter whether you support this president or not, or any other president, anything that suggests that we shouldn't have a peaceful transfer of power is dangerous to our republic. So I'm a little disheartened by that, although I think overall the mood is very optimistic looking forward. I do think the comments that you played from the president, again, taking one last swipe at our ally, were unnecessary. I think it echoed the position of Israel's enemy, Hamas. I don't think it needed to happen. And frankly, Jordan, I think it just made it all the more difficult for the next president coming in. But listen, by this time tomorrow, there will be a new president. And by Monday, we're going to see the executive branch and the direction that they are charting change dramatically.
And we may actually see some cabinet officials then in place by tomorrow afternoon, actually leading their departments. I mean, this is, again, important. These are some important positions, obviously. But walk people through that some of the Democrats have agreed to potentially move forward on getting the cabinet officials in place.
Exactly correct. Senate leaders Jordan, Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer have agreed to have Friday afternoon confirmation votes on at least General Mattis to lead the Pentagon and General Kelly to lead the Department of Homeland Security. I'm hearing that Mike Pompeo to lead the CIA will probably be added to that list, and maybe a handful of others, but at least those two. Jordan, I would just say this is an editorial note, but remember, it's very important to get those two spots filled, and I'm glad they're doing it. However, the reason those are being filled is because it is politically untenable for the Democrats to block them. So if they block some of the others down the way, there's no reason to block them except that they think politically they can get away with it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously right now, what's the report like for someone like Jeff Sessions to take over the Department of Justice? Obviously, the Trump team takes over tomorrow at noon Eastern time, but without an attorney general. When does that look like they will get a vote? I mean, that one could be into next month, correct?
That's correct, and I'm glad you asked about that one because it is now confirmed he has the votes to be the next attorney general. The delay is happening because of Senate Democrats pushing back his vote using procedural rules. Jordan, he will be on the agenda in the Judiciary Committee on the 24th. Democrats have indicated they will hold him over, which is their right to do, for 1 week until the 31st. He will then be reported out, and it looks like the earliest that he will be able to a vote to be forced on him, which is what is now going to have to happen, would be February 3rd. So he will be confirmed, but any gap between the inauguration and his confirmation, that's simply a delay tact on the part of the minority.
You know, folks, before we get to the calls, because I really do want to take a lot of calls today and get your reactions, your thoughts about what you're most excited about with the new administration, the change, obviously, that's coming. Change starts from the top with the commander-in-chief and these new cabinet positions, policies. If there's things you're nervous about, give us a call as well, 1-800-684-3110. But I just want to remind you, we're not just talking about all of these issues. And still, once the Obama administration is out the door, we've decided we are not dropping our lawsuits. You know, as Stan was talking about, it takes a while to have these transfers of power, especially in these different departments, State Department. And we've got one of those FOIA lawsuits against the State Department right now. This had to do with the editing of that video. Remember, James Rosen uncovered. Well, we've got a document, a great post up at ACLJ.org, that confirms that a State Department official received a request to edit the video over the phone from a female caller from elsewhere in the State Department's Public Affairs Division who could credibly assert that an edit should be made. Remember, this was the Obama administration saying that videotape just disappeared at one of those State Department briefings when James Rosen asked, is it the policy of the State Department to lie in order to achieve goals? And the State Department spokesman in this deleted part said, James, I think there are times where diplomacy needs privacy in order to progress. So, yes, basically that they do need to lie sometimes. This was directly about the Iranian nuclear deal. We're not dropping these lawsuits. We need to continue the pressure on the executive branch. These aren't lawsuits against the Trump administration. These are lawsuits against the bureaucracy and the holdovers that may be in place for the next few months from the Obama years. You've got to keep fighting. So I wanted to remind all of our listeners that we do not just talk about these issues. We take action. And just because there's an inauguration tomorrow, and that's very important, that peaceful transition of power in our country to a very different administration, one that we'll probably be on the side of more so than not. But we reserve our right, again, to disagree when it's necessary, that our work is not done and correcting wrongs, because it's important to set the tone, even for the new administration, about what the American people will expect and how they will be held accountable. It also points out the individuals within these bureaucracies that are problem people. They're people that need to go, that need to lose their positions. And Donald Trump has talked about shrinking that size of government as well. But I do want to get to the phone calls, Logan, and really start getting people's reactions. Donald Trump now is in Washington, D.C., preparing for, in less than 24 hours, he will be president of the United States and deliver his remarks to the American people. We will be live on the air then to cover that as well. But let's get people's thoughts through Facebook, Periscope, and, of course, by phone.
Yeah, a lot of good comments coming in. We'll get to some of those in a bit. But let's go to Jay Dean, who is calling in Oklahoma on line one.
Hi, Jay Dean.
Hi, it's Jadine Rogers. Hello.
Thank you.
My question was, I was curious, the little clip that you played of President Obama where he said he did not see how that Israel could maintain their democracy and still be Jewish. I'm curious what the context of that question was.
Yes, so he received, that's a good question, Jadine. He received a question about his failure, actually, to get the Palestinians and the Israelis to the negotiating table over his entire 8 years. He was never able to get them to the negotiating table. So he was asked why. So he's blaming Israel for one of the reasons why. He's saying that they cannot be, and I can't even fully wrap my head around this. It's such Palestinian liberal propaganda, anti-Israel propaganda, to say you can't have a Jewish state that's also democratic. I mean, what he means is that if you want to keep this state of Israel, you'd have to let every Palestinian become an Israeli, and then, of course, it would be majority Muslim very quickly. It would not be a Jewish state anymore. I don't know why this would be a departure from the two-state solution, but I think this was his parting shot at Israel. It's his philosophy, and he was asked why he failed to even have – I think he's the only president who hasn't been able to get Palestinian and Israeli leaders to at least sit down at the negotiating table. I mean, he said he could not get it done, and I think he admitted that they understood they could never get it done. That is in bite number four. Take a listen.
In light of shifts in Israeli politics and Palestinian politics, in light of all the dangers that have emerged in the region and the understandable fears that Israelis may have about the chaos and rise of groups like ISIL and the deterioration of Syria, what we at least wanted to do, understanding that the two parties wouldn't actually arrive at a final status agreement, is to preserve the possibility of a two-state solution because we do not see an alternative to it.
So that's what he was admitting there, that he could not get them to even get to the negotiating table. And obviously what would ultimately be a final status of a Palestinian state and the state of Israel and how that would work, he can never get it done. And this was the president who went and apologized to the Muslim world and still could not get these leaders together. And of course, there's a terrorist group running half that territory, a former terrorist group running the other half of the Palestinian territory, and so much chaos in the Middle East, much you can, I think, blame on President Obama and this administration. But we want to be looking forward. And Sean Spicer, who is the new White House press secretary, very different in his response today. He kind of did a briefing today as kind of a preview of what it will be like to have a White House briefing. Take a listen to what the Trump administration is going to sound like on Israel. It is welcome relief, bite 17.
Israel has not gotten the attention it deserves or the respect in the last 8 years. He intends to really show his respect for Israel, the importance of it in the Middle East. And I think he has continued to talk with his team, both Ambassador-designate David Friedman, Jared Kushner, others, Rex Tillerson, about how we're going to work with Israel. I think first and foremost, how to make sure that we continue to support our ally Israel. That is something that's going to be the priority of this administration.
So folks, again, there is a significant change that is happening in Washington, D.C. right now. And what we're asking you today on the broadcast, and we'll be covering the inaugural ceremonies. We'll be live while President Trump is taking the oath and then addressing the nation. But what we're asking today is, what are you most encouraged and excited about? What are you nervous about? Give us a call or comment on Facebook and Periscope. 1-800-684-3110 as we begin the peaceful transition of power in the United States.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. With a new president and a new Congress, there are new challenges. And we want you to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is ready to meet these new challenges. Whether it's fighting for the confirmation of a Supreme Court justice dedicated to upholding the Constitution and the rule of law, or working in Congress and in the courts to defund Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, the ACLJ is there for you. At the ACLJ, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you truly want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ. Become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines, defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the ACLJ. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. It's an important time in our history as a country. The 45th president will be inaugurated tomorrow. At this point in time, as we're talking to you now, Donald Trump will be president of the United States, commander-in-chief of our military, of our country, and of the executive branch. His cabinet will start taking their positions. Not all will be ready to go in, but it will be, again, that critical first 100 days of what kind of policies are immediately implemented by executive action and order and policy memos. We're going to start seeing all of that and tracking that even tomorrow, but more likely then over the weekend and into Monday, as the focus is really on the transition of power and everyone getting settled. In some departments, for instance, Department of Justice, there will not be an Attorney General. Jeff Sessions, though his hearings are done, the vote will likely not occur until early next month. So there will be some big holes, big gaps in the federal government. Now, it looks like we're going to have defense filled with Mattis in position, potentially Homeland Security with General Kelly and the CIA. So those important positions when it comes to our national security, both abroad and domestically. And so, folks, again, this is that time in America where you see that peaceful transition of power. There will be protest. Yep. That is part of America, too.
Yeah, let's take a call kind of about that. A lot of people are asking about handling the protest. Let's go to Jerry in Whitewater, Wisconsin, on line four.
Yeah, you know, I'm really we need to be praying for transfer of power here, because the people on the left that are so liberal that are trying to disrupt they seem to forget, because they believe that everything that they're upset about in the colleges, the congressmen that are not attending, they're all upset because they claim that the Russians infiltrated the election. That's their main gripe. That's the only – they can't come up with any proof or evidence otherwise. And nobody remembers what – I guess it's not a two-way street about Obama infiltrating the Israeli election.
Right.
Why are not somebody asked about that question?
Well, we've been filing lawsuits about that as well, and that continues, Jerry, because we want to make sure the bureaucrats who were responsible for that, they were not people that lose their job. They don't serve at the pleasure of the president, that they are held accountable for this money that was shifted over to anti-Netanyahu campaigns under the Obama administration from the State Department. I mean, you're right. Now, people will protest. I will tell you, the way these inaugurals are set up, you'd have to have quite a protest to disrupt any of the proceedings.
We've been to many of them. The scope of this is...
So to even, like, to go see the protesters, you have to go, like, looking for them, even if there's lots of them. They can cause disruption. Some will be arrested. They will probably... Obviously, there's a parade route. There are times here, I think it's a... There's hold your breath moments in these because it's so public, and the president is more exposed than usually they are in the rest of their presidency.
But you are pretty far back. If you're not a – I mean, we were ticketed official, many times, and we were pretty significantly far back.
Yeah, if you're not
back.
An elected official or a member of the Supreme Court – and I will tell you, Jerry, let me just say to all of those Democrats who say they're not going to attend, these are folks who have little to no influence right now in Washington, D.C. They are in the minority party. Many of them are the minority of their own party in the sense that they are the far left of the left party. And not having them there is not important. It doesn't matter who's there or not.
Right.
Donald Trump becomes the most powerful person in the world tomorrow, and there's not anything they can do to stop that.
Melanie said the same thing. Question, how well do you think the crowd control will be? Will police be able to handle the protesters? Well, they kind of sanction them off. They have areas of free speech zones.
Right. If they go outside of those, they get arrested.
Right. So, and those are usually, they're close, but they're, you usually have to walk through them if you're walking from a distance to get to them. But they're not right in front of the stage. They're nowhere they could be disruptive. And you're right. Just due to the scope of this, to be actually be disruptive during the ceremony, very difficult. You'd have to have thousands of people that were unified to do that. Because it doesn't work that
and
way.
I'll tell you this. This is a very different, my dad's on the way up to our office in Washington, D.C., for some of the festivities there. And we have a lot of good friends who are coming to power or taking new roles and new positions. So that's important for our ACLJ operation in Washington, D.C. We wanted to be here in our studio so we could broadcast it live for you today and tomorrow, the inauguration as it goes on. But I want to tell you this. This is a different inaugural. For those of you who have not attended before, there's only one official inaugural ball. Now, I worked for President George W. Bush in his reelection.
Plenty.
And then after he won his election, I actually worked for the inaugural committee. We had, I believe, 10 official inaugural balls that he attended. So there was a lot more moving parts that evening on, you know, and Donald Trump's got one. He's got a shorter parade route. He's a different of different. It's a different
He's
style.
A different kind of guy.
Different kind of guy. And so I don't believe the mass movement of people won't be as big of a deal as maybe it was in the past. That does not mean, though, obviously this is a top terror target, a protest target. I mean, this is why it's a city on lockdown, and we should all be praying for that, not just a peaceful transition of power in the sense of one party to the other, one leader to the other, but for an actual, you know, peaceful inaugural for the protesters as well, that they're able to get their message out loud and clear without their rights being violated. But if they go outside the zones they're allowed to be, they will be.
Do you think that's part of the reason there's only one ball because of that situation?
Could be security issue.
Like, I mean, I know it's connected to you, but I got an invite to a George W. Bush ball. And if I'm getting invites, then, you know,
it's
a pretty large list.
It's I think some of it's security.
That's
but also,
I mean.
Remember, Donald Trump has an interesting relationship with the corporate world. Some it's good, some bad.
Yeah.
Inaugural committees. So the people who pay for not what you're seeing on this oath, but all these balls are separate entities that can receive unlimited funds from corporations.
Sponsored events.
For instance, you know, ExxonMobil, they could have sponsored an entire ball. I don't think Donald Trump necessarily wanted that happening on mass scale. That was a different time under George W. Bush. So the corporations came in and you could raise unlimited funds. So you could basically have as many balls as you could raise the money for.
Right.
And it was just a different tone. And I think for someone like Donald Trump, he could have gone that route. But that may play too much into the stereotype also that he needed 10 balls to attend. First, he doesn't seem like that kind of guy either.
No.
He likes to kind of
he's a
be in his zone.
And more private. Public and private at the same time, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
So it's going to be different tomorrow evening as well. But that I just want to explain why these are and how this works. So I think everybody needs a reminder every 4 years. And really, it's every 8 years that you get this kind of
big one,
or at least when there's someone new. Sometimes it's every 4 years.
Yeah, but. All right. Well, we will be back for the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live coming up. If you don't get us for the next half hour, which some of the stations don't carry it, find us online, facebook.com/JaySekulow, Periscope, Jay Sekulow. You can find us broadcasting there live each and every day, archived later on in the day on the ACLJ app, on iPhone, on Roku, Apple TV. You can find the app there. All of that's available, though, at ACLJ.org. And yes, like we said, our dad will be back tomorrow on the show, broadcasting from our DC studios. As well as if you're listening to the Sean Hannity show.
Yes.
For the next, next week or so, right? He'll be broadcasting from the ACLJ studios.
Sean is obviously a good friend of ours at the ACLJ, and he will be at our studios in Washington, D.C., broadcasting his radio shows. I think that begins tomorrow.
I believe so.
Today. He'll be in our studios today in Washington, D.C.
Maybe he'll get the president
to drop by. And then throughout the week. So, again, you can see kind of the impact of what we're able to do as an organization, not just as a radio show, but as an organization. Individuals, good friends of ours like Sean Hannity, can utilize our great facilities that are located right on Capitol Hill to broadcast their shows as well. So when you hear Sean later today or
over the next week,
over the next week, you'll know he'll be in that same studio where Than Bennett is right now in Washington, D.C., and where we broadcast from there. We come back again. We're going to take lots of phone calls. What are you most excited about with this administration? Anything you're nervous about? 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. About this new victory up at ACLJ.org. Take a look. And for people that are watching through Facebook, click that share button now. Let's bring in more people to the conversation. Click share now. If you're watching on Facebook, there's a way to do that on Periscope as well. So click share. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
With a new president and a new Congress, there are new challenges. And we want you to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is ready to meet these new challenges. At the ACLJ, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the ACLJ. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org.
We will fight.
Welcome back to J Secchio Live. This is Jordan Secchio, and we are taking your phone calls 1-800-684-3110. In less than 24 hours, Donald Trump will be president of the United States. Mike Pence will be vice president. Some of their cabinet officials will actually take their post. Others will still be vacant as they're going through the hearing and voting and confirmation process. Some executive orders will be issued. Some Obama policies will already be reversed, but especially in those first 72 hours. And, of course, the main focus is on the first 100 days of the Trump administration. What we've asked today is for those of you joining our broadcast that wanted to call in and speak to us or comment through Facebook and Periscope, is one question: what are you most excited about? I mean, you know, looking forward now in this positive way. Also, are there items that you're nervous about as well? I think that's fair. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Let me remind everyone, Than and I were talking about this, and Than, maybe we expound on it a little bit more before we get to the next call. Conservatives have been in a defensive posture for 8 years. We are now in the final 24 hours of, again, it's not that we won't be fighting. There's going to be lawsuits. Planned Parenthood is not going to be happy when they're defunded. They're going to go to court. So there'll always be lawsuits and challenges, but they will be proactive in support of, many times, the actions of our federal government. And we will also be playing important roles in proactively supporting legislation like the replacement for Obamacare, the replacement for the Affordable Care Act, Supreme Court nominees. It is proactive, and I don't want people to forget it. It's easy to forget what that feels like and how to do that because it's been 8 years.
Well, and in some ways, it's more difficult, Jordan. You've got to engage both the legislative and executive branch. I'll just give a couple of examples. First of all, when Obamacare replacement is rolling forward this spring, that's going to be an effort led by Secretary Price, if indeed he is confirmed, that entire process has to actually be written. So as opposed to just receiving a draft of legislation, poring over it, and finding out what it would accomplish, the new administration and the new Congress is going to have to put that language together. And then secondarily, Jordan, with all of the rollback of the executive orders that President Obama put in place, even though Donald Trump can do that, there have to be the apparatus to actually repeal them. And then if they need replaced, those have to be written. And Jordan, maybe the most complicated part of this whole thing, and I'm glad you've brought this up many times, is that in many cases, the people on those middle tiers in the bureaucracies for the first several weeks, they're going to be the same people that put those regulations in place. So while it's proactive, you're going to have to keep a very close eye on these bureaucracies until some of that personnel can turn around, because it does take some time. So yes, more proactive, but in many ways more difficult as well.
All right, let's get to the phones. I know people have been holding on about what they're excited about, what they're nervous about with the new administration.
Here's someone who's excited about something. Let's go to Leland in Montana online too.
Hey, Leland.
Hello. Yeah, the thing I'm most excited about is the movement of the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the capital.
Yes, this would be historic. And I will tell you, Stan was just talking about, this will be one of those issues where it seems pretty easy in substance. The president can order that. But he will be receiving so much pushback from the State Department, so much pushback from the international community and other countries, threats from the Muslim world and the Arab world and the Palestinians of potential violence that this will cause. So if you want to see, as Donald Trump, he doubled down on this again yesterday, that move of our embassy to the actual capital of Israel, Jerusalem, there's already land there, already a place there ready for it to be built. Then Donald Trump will need your support, because this is, even though it sounds easy and simple in the ordering part, the international pressure is going to be extreme against this. It's why it's never been done in the threats. And so he has appointed a nominated ambassador who is also dedicated to doing this. I mean, listen, it's kind of absurd that Israel's government is in Jerusalem and our embassy for our top ally is an hour and a half drive away in Tel Aviv. It just doesn't make logistical sense. And we're doing this to appease what? Terrorists? To violent people? So, again, I agree with you, Leland. That's exciting. But I will tell you, it's one of those you got to stay on so it doesn't get pushed down the road and say, okay, we'll handle that later on because of the threats that will be there and the international outcry. We'll take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. What are you excited about? Inauguration Day is tomorrow. Give us a call on J Secchio Live.
With a new president and a new Congress, there are new challenges. And we want you to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is ready to meet these new challenges. Whether it's fighting for the confirmation of a Supreme Court justice dedicated to upholding the Constitution and the rule of law, or working in Congress and in the courts to defund Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, the ACLJ is there for you. At the ACLJ, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you truly want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ, become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines, defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the ACLJ. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or go online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Jay Sekulow Live, this is Jordan Sekulow. It has felt like a long time. It was a long campaign. It was a long election. And even this time period between the election, November, and tomorrow has really, to me, it's kind of dragged on. I mean, it's been a long time. And that's because the Obama team, instead of kind of closing up shop, kept ramping things up. So the work kind of kept piling up. And, of course, the damage they've done to the state of Israel and to the U.S. reputation around the world, but especially at the UN Security Council. But again, it is now down to the final 24 hours. I don't expect that we're going to see President Obama be a silent ex-president, former president. I think he'll go away for a bit. He's going to take a break. But I think he has already said again in his final press conference yesterday that he is going to be ready to speak out when he feels it's necessary. So he's left a pretty broad way for him to stay publicly engaged. I don't know. I believe that will probably continue to add division to the country. It doesn't give Donald Trump the opportunity to try and bring people who may think that they strongly disagree with him or don't like his policies or don't like him or are scared of what he may do. It doesn't really give him the opportunity to bring them over to his side, or at least kind of a middle point, if you've got the former president saying everything is so horrible that Donald Trump is proposing. By the way, will any of that stop what Donald Trump is doing? Absolutely not. But it could be a unique time in our country to have a former president so vocal if he decides to go that route. He's certainly leaving that option open. We want to focus on phone calls now and Facebook comments, because we want to know what you all are most excited about, maybe nervous about as well, but really focusing on the positive change in this peaceful transition of power. Let's go to the phones.
Yep, let's go ahead. Let's just go to some people that have been holding for a long time. Let's go to Maryland. Who's calling in Maryland? You're on the air.
Hi, I'm Marilyn in Leonardtown. I'm very excited to see what President Trump with Christian advisors can do to re-strengthen our relationship with Israel and defund Planned Parenthood and enhance the worldview of the USA. But I'm very concerned about his safety at the inauguration.
Well, everybody is concerned about our president's safety. People were very concerned about President Obama's safety. During his first black president, took controversial positions sometimes. But we've got the Secret Service. Donald Trump has not just the Secret Service and the military guarding in these situations, like the inauguration, but he's also got a very serious security team of his own that he is keeping on. So, again, you pray for a peaceful time. There will be always attempts at this. We know we are a target for terror in our country at all times, and large gatherings and our leaders as well. So you have to pray for them. They have decided, when you think about someone like Donald Trump, at the end of the day, he did not have to do this. He was successful. He's not a politician. He could have spent more time in Palm Beach and let his children kind of run the business and had a nice life. He decided for his own country and for their own sake to put himself in this position, knowing full well that that means you become a target. As the commander-in-chief is the most powerful person in the world, that means you have enemies. But so we pray, again, for a peaceful day tomorrow for everybody, including the peaceful protesters there who are using their very important First Amendment rights, that it's peaceful for them as well. But, Than, I think I want to go back to what Marilyn said about a few of the issues like Israel at the world stage. Specifically, I mean, President-elect Trump, we won't have to say that much longer now, but he has been assembling a very pro-Israel team, especially in the ambassador that he has named to that position, Friedman, who, again, also supports the move of the embassy. And is, I think we heard from Nikki Haley yesterday, she will be the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., she understands that the U.S. role internationally cannot remain silent, and we will not refuse to use our ability to veto at the Security Council.
Yeah, that's right, Jordan. Nikki Haley, who's going to be the next ambassador to the United Nations, could not have been any more clear. Not only did she say, I will not abstain, I will always cast a vote, I will be there for Israel, and the United States voice will be heard. She also called on the Congress, Jordan, to do what we have been asking them to do, which is use the money leverage, defund the United Nations to the extent possible to make the force of the United States felt. So I think that's a very good sign. I would just say this, too, to Marilyn's other point. There is a big difference between the protesters that are citizens, that will either be protesting during the inauguration or the next day on the 21st, and these elected officials, Jordan. Remember, these elected officials were elected using the same process that Donald Trump was, and frankly, this always is an event that involves safety concerns. These elected officials have an obligation to tamp that down. Their actions, Jordan, have actually emboldened some of these people who would be prone to doing something wild. I hold them to a much higher standard than those private citizens that are protesting. That is their First Amendment right to do. But when you're an elected official, you assume more responsibility. And in my opinion, they have laid that down this week.
I mean, let's listen. This is a marked change. Remember Samantha Power at the UN, who I would say just her tone and tenor just displayed that lead from behind American weakness, that internationalist worldview, globalist worldview, and pretty much anti-Israel. I'd say, I mean, it was President Obama who took ultimate. He said it was his call to abstain in that UN Security Council vote. But let me tell you, he got there because of people like Samantha Power pushing him. And he ultimately does take the blame. That's how I would put it. But take a listen to the change, even that we'll hear from our top ambassador to the world, to the UN, Nikki Haley. This is during her confirmation yesterday about Israel, Bite 26.
I was the first governor in America to sign legislation combating the anti-Israel boycott, divest, and sanction, or the BDS movement. I will not go to New York and abstain when the UN seeks to create an international environment that encourages boycotts of Israel. In fact, I pledge to you this. I will never abstain when the United Nations takes any action that comes in direct conflict with the interests and values of the United States.
All right, let's go right back to the phones and start taking more of the calls today.
Yeah, sure. Actually, I want to take a quick comment. This comes in from Janine. She said she hopes Planned Parenthood is defunded right away. What's the process for something like that?
Right now, Than, we're being told that Speaker Ryan, and they will include that in House legislation that is part of the repeal of Obamacare. So that will be the first attempt to defund Planned Parenthood fully congressionally. There will be major opposition to this in the U.S. Senate. I mean, it could easily pass the House. The Senate may be more difficult because of the filibuster and the division there. But Than, what do we expect to see? There are actions the president can take. Reagan did this, called the Reagan Rule, to start and so defunds millions from Planned Parenthood immediately through executive action. So that can be done by Donald Trump on his own. But the real full defunding of Planned Parenthood, Than, walk people through that.
Well, I was actually going to bring up the Reagan Rule as well, Jordan, because, listen, I think Donald Trump should do this. This is something that has survived legal challenges. Now, it's to a smaller pot of money, but I think the Reagan Rule should be implemented And that would be a ding to Planned Parenthood right out of the box. But the larger defund of Planned Parenthood, which comes through Medicaid reimbursements, that was in a bill passed by the United States Congress and vetoed by President Obama under reconciliation rules last year. It will be in this year's bill again, and President Trump, the new president, has said that he will sign it. Jordan, I would expect sometime in March for that to pass. Now, we've talked about on this broadcast, once that's enacted, it's going to be challenged. So there's going to be litigation on that front as well. We will, of course, be involved in it. But like all of these big efforts, Jordan, there are multiple steps, and it does take some time. The good news is I think the United States Senate, because of their vote last year, I think they're going to have to include it. I don't see even some, we'll call them soft Republicans on this issue, backing away from it at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the next thing we really watch for, the only thing really remaining from the Obama administration, barring some international crisis that could always occur in these critical times, I think people would, they want to capitalize if possible in these 23 hours to kind of put things into crisis mode. But the what we're really watching in the Obama administration is who else gets pardons. Do the Clinton folks get the pardons? And we may not know that until tomorrow morning. Really, until moments before Donald Trump takes the oath, those pardons could be issued, and you can preemptively pardon people who have not yet been charged or convicted of a crime. They don't have to be serving. So that's kind of the last thing we're looking for on the Clinton team. And I saw some Facebook comments on that. Back to the phones, Logan.
All right, continuing on. We only got a minute and a half.
We'll take
a quick call. Let's go to Mike in Texas.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, guys. Just wanted to say I'm excited but nervous also.
Sure.
That we have a person who is not a professional politician coming into office.
You know, I think, Mike, that's really a fair assessment and statement, that you're excited about, you know, the policies, the discussions, but it's a little scary. It's a little nerve-wracking that this is someone who's taking over such an important role as commander-in-chief of our country, a huge government. You know, when you look at all these different departments, think about the State Department alone, 75,000 plus employees all over the world. This is as big as Donald Trump and his organization is. This is much bigger. That pales in comparison. So he's coming with a different experience, but he's got people around him who've been in these executive positions, specifically the Vice President-elect Mike Pence, who's been a governor and a congressman. It's a huge job for anybody, but I think it's really honest of you, Mike, to say that there's a little bit of nerves there. And Than, I'm sure there's a lot of nerves in Washington, D.C. I'm not talking amongst Democrats right now. I'm talking amongst conservatives as well, because it's new territory.
You know what's calmed, though, somewhat, Jordan, are the cabinet nominees that Donald Trump has made. In many cases, these are people familiar with these bureaucracies, and Jordan probably the best positioned to shrink them. So I think that balance has reassured a lot of people here.
People ask on Facebook, can you overturn pardons? No, you cannot. I mean, that's the important role the president has to pardon people. It wouldn't make sense if you could overturn those. We'll be right back, taking more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. With a new president and a new Congress, there are new challenges. And we want you to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is ready to meet these new challenges. Whether it's fighting for the confirmation of a Supreme Court justice dedicated to upholding the Constitution and the rule of law, or working in Congress and in the courts to defund Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, the ACLJ is there for you. At the ACLJ, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you truly want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ, become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines, defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the ACLJ. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org.
The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Just thinking about tomorrow clears away the cobwebs and the sorrow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Donald Trump's now in Washington, D.C. He's arrived at the Trump Hotel there, which will be his kind of base of operations until the inauguration tomorrow. He will take the oath. We will be live on the air, just reminding people, we are live at noon Eastern time every day, and that's when the oath will be administered. So we'll be able to bring that to you live as well as parts of the speech. So we'll be in and out of the actual inauguration coverage. So if you're in the car, if you're on Facebook and by phone, yeah, and you want to get kind of a unique perspective on this, we are going to be live throughout that tomorrow in that critical first hour, basically the whole taking of the oath and the remarks,
yep, as long as
that
things
he
are
gives
running out of
time. To the American people. We'll certainly cover those remarks as they are the ones that we believe are really the most important for those of you listening in to our broadcast. Now, on this segment, I really just want to get to people's calls and their comments on Facebook. We've asked today what people are most excited or nervous about with the new president, the 45th president of the United States. It will be at this time tomorrow, President Trump. He will be president for over almost a half hour.
Right.
About a half hour. So, and of course, Vice President, it will be Vice President Pence as well. So what are you most excited about? What's nervous about? Let's take the phone calls.
All right, let's go to Christine in California on line three. You're on the air, Christine.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I'm really, really excited about this new administration coming in. January 20th at 12 Pacific Standard Time can't come fast enough for me. I'm really excited. I'm very proud that he was proactive and he took the time to set things up so he could hit the ground running. My concern would be the lingering effects of the Obama administration and the impact that it's going to have on this new administration and basically America at large. One of the things I think about is, just as an example, like this postponing of Mr. Jeff Sessions. It's like, how does that possibly negatively impact us as a nation? And how do the Democrats benefit by this? I don't understand that.
Well, I think that, listen, they believe that they are just kind of putting damage in place, that they are hurting the Trump administration. What they're doing is delaying the work of the Department of Justice. And they're ultimately, they can't delay it that long. But they are, it's to try and prevent. I mean, they believe they don't like the tone. They don't like the way the Department of Justice is going to change. Thankfully, under Jeff Sessions, who we will soon be able to call Attorney General. But then they've picked and chosen a few of these cabinet nominees to try and delay on. And the real effect is to prevent them from fully getting started in the work that they want to do to reform, in this case, the Department of Justice, which also includes the FBI.
Yeah, that's absolutely the real effect, Jordan. I would just submit to you that the motive is pure politics, however, and I would extend that all the way to Senator Booker, who testified in opposition to Senator Sessions. Listen, I think they picked nominees who they thought they could get away with opposing with their base. They can't get away with opposing the national security nominees like John Kelly and Jim Mattis, maybe even Mike Pompeo, because even their base knows you have to have those on day one. But you're right. There is real damage done if the attorney general is not in place for a while. Now, listen, I can tell you, he will be working behind the scenes getting things ready. So I don't want people to panic, but I would say it's purely politics to push it back. And one final point, Jordan, on day one, President Obama got 7 of his cabinet nominees confirmed. Anything less than that, I think, is pure politics.
All right, folks, back to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110, this final segment,
yep,
final show also before when we come to you again. Donald Trump will be taking the oath. He'll be a new president of the United States. Pretty cool time in the U.S. Let's go back to the phones.
Janet in Seattle, quickly, you're on the air.
Hi, I I wanted to say I'm very excited about tomorrow, especially having Mike Pence second in command. I think he's a competent and conservative Christian gentleman, and I think he'll have a very calming effect on our new president.
Yes, I think that Mike Pence is very important to have his experience. He is a social conservative, he's a good Christian leader, and a very important influence on Donald Trump, and understands these ins and outs of the government in a way that Donald Trump is not going to, because this is new. He's not a career politician. Back to the phones.
All right. Julie in Massachusetts on line one. Thanks for
calling. Hi, Julie.
Hello. I'm excited about Trump being president because I know he seems to love America, and he loves the unborn, and he loves peace and justice, and he loves Israel, and that's basically
that sums a lot. Sums it all up.
Sounds
right
like
there.
One of the speeches.
Pro-life, pro-Israel, cares about Israel. Our country, wants America to lead. Oftentimes, folks, we're a country in conflict right now, engaged in conflict around the world. Oftentimes, you can't overpromise this, but oftentimes when these stronger leaders come to power, those who are our enemies take a step back. They question their current posture because of what might happen if they push the U.S. too far. And I think that you could see that kind of action under the Trump administration.
Let's go to Anthony in Richmond, Texas. You're on the air.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I was just wanting to say I'm excited about Donald Trump taking the reins of a country tomorrow, but I'm also excited that Obama and his policies and the people under him are leaving. That Obama administration has left nothing but a mess in our country for the last 8 years.
Yep.
And I'll take a quick trip down memory lane. Obama, you said the man a while ago said he's glad a businessman, not a professional politician. Obama never had the experience to take over the nation. A four-year senator from Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, you could question that. You could certainly question when you're writing the history books. He was a compelling leader. That was clear since he took the national stage. But was it because of a lack of experience and understanding he could not get things done in Washington, D.C.? Now, you could look at the reverse side and say he's shifted things entirely in social policy and the way he conducted our foreign affairs, even if obviously we strongly disagree with a lot of those moves. I think all the history books you can go back and look at, and that's unique for each president. And I will say this, I'm not sure anyone is fully prepared. I mean, there's always something new. We have this threat of terror. We have world conflict. I mean, everybody needs a lot of help to be commander in chief. And there are a lot of tough decisions that have to be made beginning on day one for Donald Trump tomorrow.
All right, let's go to Karen quickly. Last call of the day in New York. You're on the air.
Hey, Karen.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm going to echo the sentiments of a previous caller that I am just so excited to have someone in the White House that loves America, that wants to make it great again, and that loves Israel. And I want to say God bless America, Israel, and the work of the ACLJ. I hope this will be your best year ever.
Hey, we appreciate it, Karen. We're very excited about getting that proactive work started. We have our friends like Jeff Sessions, we can call them General Sessions when they're Attorney General. And a lot of the great work that we're going to be able to do under an administration that agrees so much more often than disagrees. And it's been very different these past 8 years. Folks, as we sign off on today's show with a minute left, by this time, when we come tomorrow live on the air at noon Eastern time, when we're on Facebook and Periscope and the over 1,000 radio stations that carry Jay Sekulow live each day of the week, a new president of the United States will be taking an oath of office. He will then be addressing the nation. Be in prayer for our country today and tonight and tomorrow, that this is, as always has been, a peaceful transition of power, but also that there's a peace that passes over Donald Trump and his team, as well as they take the reins of the federal government, of the executive branch, and as he becomes commander-in-chief of our country. Pray for all those law enforcement and security officials in Washington, D.C., that things go smoothly tomorrow. And we will begin anew in a new administration, this time tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live.
With a new president and a new Congress, there are new challenges. And we want you to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is ready to meet these new challenges. At the ACLJ, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the ACLJ. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org.